Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here for the next couple hours. If you want to talk cars with us, it's easy. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We have more people in the studio than they had in Sun Devil Stadium at the last sporting event. But I've got Eddie with me sitting to my left, and you've been with us a little, how many years?
31 years.
And so you and I have kind of grown up together.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're my big brother or my dad.
Yeah. There goes your microphone. But you were young when we hired you.
Oh, yeah.
30 years ago? How
31
old?
Years ago. I was 22.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. But you're the oldest employee that we have. We don't have anybody else with respect to the technicians and the service department and stuff
right.
like that.
I'm number seven.
You're number seven? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't know. Andy, where are we at?
We're at like 203 now.
Okay. So Andy's my daughter. She runs this operation. And then we have Alan, my son, and actually runs the fun stuff, the diesels and the quads and the Can-Ams and all that other kind of stuff. And what we call the stupid money green air, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What'd you do last week?
A lot.
Can you be a little bit more specific?
Oh.
Was it a lot of side-by-sides?
No, repair. No. Mostly diesel
okay.
repair.
Okay, yeah. All right. So the other ones come and go, but there's three of them out there right now. I just walked the floor. So there's three of them already there. Are those queued up?
What do you mean?
Well, are they getting ready to be worked on?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. I've got something we can start the show off, and I went to a website of somebody who's in the auto repair industry that evidently is somebody that people look at. People look at favorably, but I'll tell you what I don't like, and this is on their website. I think there's so many interpretations. How many times should you visit your repair shop in a year? I don't really like that because it's easier for him to say 3, 4, 5, and that may not be what oil they've got in their car, how many miles they drive, all that kind of stuff. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's kind of tough for me to say you need to come in 3 times a year when I already talk about if you got synthetic oil and you live in Ahwatukee, then you're going to see us once a year and preferably in April. So
well, it depends on, are you talking just maintenance or your car needs work?
Yeah.
A lot of it depends on the kind of car you drive.
Well, and then I'm pretty sure he's talking about maintenance. How many times should you visit your shop in a year? You don't have the choice when your water pump's leaking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But this is kind of you make the choice. Here's a question I'm going to throw on the table. What causes an alternator to fail prematurely? That's what I said, crickets. You know what I mean? What kind of a question is that? Who cares? It's not miles. It's not months. Mm-hmm. They can go 50. They can go 150. So is there symptoms with alternators?
Failing?
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, with the brushes, it could be intermittent charging. Sometimes it charges, sometimes it doesn't.
A dead battery. The alternator just gave up the ghost.
Right.
Noise from a bearing.
Yep.
Okay. A belt that's having a tough time squealing because the alternator is getting ready to lock up. So it's kind of like you create the perception that we're going to replace your alternator before it fails. Is that valid?
No.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay,
no.
This is radio. You have to talk. You can't just shake your head.
I understand.
Okay.
So, not really, although, but on my 97 Explorer, I went 157 on the alternator. I wasn't driving it. My significant other was. And I went ahead and did an alternator just so it wouldn't leave her in. And same thing, I did a fuel pump at 140,000 miles.
I think that makes more sense. I mean, at that kind of mileage and stuff like that, but...
Yeah. Well, and the fact that you're a mechanic.
Right.
I mean.
Right.
So that makes it a lot easier. Stay after work for 2 hours on a Friday and do it, you know?
Well, yeah, financially it is easier.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I didn't want the car to break down. You know what I'm saying, right? Happy wife, happy life.
Well, this is the same wife that's history, though, right?
Yes.
So that alternative fuel pump didn't do a damn bit of good for you, did it? Thank you for letting me tease you. Alrighty. Why choosing an auto repair shop to call home could save you from needing your car towed?
I don't understand that.
Okay, I'll read it. Why choosing an auto repair shop to call home that could save you from needing your car towed? It's like if you call us home, you're never going to have to need your car towed. And that's because every time you bring your car in, we're going to rip your head off with replacing all kinds of stuff. So it creates the perception that if you call us home, you don't have to worry about your car being towed. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, and even when, I mean, we have customers that are great at maintaining their vehicles, things still break and you still break down, so.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
If we knew, our cars would never break down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, our crystal ball on the counter's broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, do you know the story about that crystal ball on the front counter? Somebody gave it to us. It's really a nice looking.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
really is a classy looking thing that sits in there. Do you guys use it at the front counter? Do you say just a minute?
Well, I mean, yeah, we
joking.
we jokingly say that, and yes, it's still on the front counter.
So I'm good to go now. I mean, next 6 months. Let me look at the crystal ball.
They replace their air filter, and then they say, "So it's good, right? I'm gonna not have to see you for another year." And we're like. Yeah, I don't. Hopefully.
And you know, that brings up a great point. Last, and then I'm going to go back to your point, so just a reminder. Mm-hmm. The guy at the Honda says, my brake fluid light has been coming on intermittently following significant pressure. Should it be safe to drive until I can get it to your shop for a few days? What's missing here is the color of the light.
Well, it's going to be red if it's a brake light. And what's happening is...
If it's a brake pressure...
No, what's happening, you said on a hard application, the light's coming on, the fluid is moving and it's low on fluid, so it's making the float drop and bringing the light on.
Okay, so it's a level.
Yes.
Okay, so it's never yellow? I mean, a brake fluid light is never yellow?
No.
So anything to do with brakes is red?
Right.
Okay.
Except for ABS, which is yellow.
Okay. And folks, red and yellow means stop versus just be cautious. So what were you going to talk about that told you to...
Well, you know, people, if they come in and... I was joking and saying like an air filter, but, you know, if they get AC work and they come in for just AC work and then when they pick up the car, you know, they say, so I'm good for another year, I won't see you, and...
It's a difficult thing to answer.
Yeah.
And like I said, if we could read into the future, then our cars would never be towed and we wouldn't have towing insurance from our insurance and all that kind of stuff. Eddie, the 4 million miles your cars have on, do you towing insurance?
No.
Okay. But you've been towed in a couple times.
I've been towed in once.
Once in all these years?
Yep.
What was that?
Oh, actually twice. Once in my Thunderbird and then once in my Lexus when the timing belt broke.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And see, that's my point. My point is if somebody had the ability to tell when their car was going to be failed, it would be us. And us in the industry. So it's just not really possible. The best work that you can have done to at least look the car over good would be?
An oil change is when
and a thorough inspection by someone who knows what they're looking for and looking at.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the issue is when we do an oil change, it's inspect all the belts, mm-hmm. all the hoses, mm-hmm. the tires.
Fluids. Filters, lights.
All that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shock struts, suspension.
Okay.
I mean, we'll peek through the wheels and take a look at the brakes, but we're not going to pull the wheels to check the brakes on a wheel change.
Unless it comes with the tire rotation. And then they get two. They get check the brakes and rotate
the
tire.
Or if it's tire rotation, you need a brake check. If it's a brake and you want a tire rotation, that's included.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of a package deal. If you take both of them, it just costs you the same as one of them.
Yeah,
so.
And if they go and test drive the vehicle and hear the brakes squeaking for an oil change or something like that, or they pull it into the shop, then they're going to, you know, tell the customer, hey, we should probably check your brakes. We heard them squeaking when we pulled the car in to rack it or whatever the case may be.
And how often, the three of you, how often do you find something on an oil change that has to be done right now, or is it something that you should be planning for in the future?
Percentage-wise?
Well,
I'd say maybe 10 to 15%. It might have a coolant leak or you know, a hose that's swollen up and that, you know, this is going to leave you stranded. And that's how we always do it, we listen to priority. This is going to be a tow all the way down to where you can let go.
Okay. Yeah, this isn't going to generate the need for a tow truck, but this is.
Correct.
If you let it go too far. So it's kind of the difference between a tow truck. All right, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I want to talk about a place in Casa Grande that's run by a guy I went to high school with. I'm not even going to tell you his name because he's a no-good son of a gun. But he owns Adrenaline Motorsports. Arizona.com, and he sells the Kawasaki and the Can-Am side-by-sides. He's a friend of mine, and here's what's special about him. Many times when you go to buy an off-road vehicle, you pay sales tax, license, and for the unit. but then you pay, I saw the other day, $495 dock fee, then you pay freight, and then you pay nitrogen in the tires, and now I'm getting kind of stupid. But these are the kinds of pack they put on it. So you add up all those extra stuff, and you're talking about $1,000, $1,200 more than the ride and the license plate and the sales tax. So John doesn't do that. And what's kind of nifty is if you call the Adrenaline Motorsports in Casa Grande, he'll tell you, write your check for this much money before you come and pick up your scooter. And then that way you already know. And that way you can do it, and there's not going to be any surprises. But the $499 dock fee aggravates me because there is someone who simply types in your address, name, and phone number on the title. That's really all it is. And the purchase order. So they just put your information on there, then they generate a registration, and that's it for $500. Even Andy doesn't get paid that much for working the front counter, taking the same information, right? Basically, yeah. It's the same information.
Yeah.
So Andy doesn't get paid enough.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do you say that?
No. 1 minute. You have to see what she does every day and what she puts up with every day.
Okay, but the question is it from customers or staff?
Yes.
Right. Oh, brother, yes. Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's Alan, the customers, or the rest of the staff.
It's not me, though.
Well, no.
Okay. I'm golden.
Yeah.
people know, obviously, you're my daughter, and Andy and Alan have been in the business for at least 20 years. Andy kind of runs the money because Alan's not allowed to, and Alan runs the shop, and they work together well. And Renee and I, their mother and father, are really proud of them because this has been a real seamless transition. So we've had really good luck. But it is true that Andy's not quite like her mother. Renee, my wife, is just nice and calm, and she handed out hugs where I handed out S-Juins. and it's kind of that they share that second part, but the same token, it's okay. It's kind of like Jack the Ripper and Snow White. What are you doing? You don't think I can see the clock?
those letters are freaking giant. 6-inch tall letters right there. You get that thing from space.
A clock doesn't have letters.
And numbers. Oh, those letters. It says AM right there.
Let me tell you, I'll just refresh everybody's memory. I got to hit the 30 and the 5850.
No, I know you do. I'm just reminding you.
Yeah, I got to hit those hard. At 17, I can be 18, 19, and 20, and Gil starts using bad words at 21.
All right.
All right, so it's 17:37, so I'm okay. So, but that's okay. Thank you. But watch the 30, the 5850 mark for me. 602-508-0960. If you have any kind of car questions, Eddie's an expert in just about everything. Alan knows diesels really, really well and off-road vehicles. I know it just a little bit, and Andy will tell you she's our personal lie detector. So we'll be back in a minute. All the buttons here. 21 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. To my right is my son, Alan, and my daughter, Eddie, my number one tech, been with me 30-plus years. And then we got a couple of Salem boys sitting here that are going to be the third generation, but they don't have microphones, and they're not allowed to talk. Anyway, Kurt's Auto Repair's up at I-17 in Bell. He is a really good guy. He's been around since 1987, does gas and diesel, ASE certified technician. So if you're in the area of I-17 in Bell, the northeast corner is Kurt's Auto Repair. I can't tell you how many times I've sent him a car, and the story behind the car was nobody can fix this, and at the end of the day, they did. So that's Kurt's Auto Repair. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or you want to discuss something, then you're more than welcome to do this. I want to read you this. This is an email. This just ruined my day. Okay? He says, I take my vehicles in to a shop. I've never recalled ever taking my two vehicles without receiving a call back that something needs fixing right now. My battery cables show corrosion. Any comments?
Oh. See it all the time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
that's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not an emergency.
That's such a wussy thing to say. That way, if the Attorney General says, what are you doing? They go, well, it shows corrosion. I mean, it's kind of a real, I'm not going to get in trouble by saying that, but it's, come on. How many cables do we see that have no signs of corrosion? Okay, there's even more. It's unbelievable. Your radiator hoses show evidence of leaking at a connection.
Okay, so
they want to do all the hoses and all the, and flush this cooling system.
Why don't you just tighten the clamps?
That's exactly my point.
How many miles did he say? How many miles or what year or anything?
2004 Tacoma, and there's a Pontiac that he takes as well. I think what bothers me is this is just, you're walking this line that you think is, well, and it really does. You're going to make the sale because you're kind of scaring them. In reality, like Eddie said, this is craziness. This is not what we spend a lot of time with. Your radiator shows evidence leaking at the connection. I said the same thing. Why don't we pressure test it and tighten the clamp? That would have cost what? Nothing?
Well, I mean, we get, what, 45 for pressure test?
Yeah, I would say, I mean...
But this is how we're going to fix it for that. Okay, we're not talking about a radiator and all the hoses and flush the cooling system.
Yeah, no, if it's just tighten the clamps, we're not going to charge to tighten the clamps.
Yeah. So your brake fluid needs to be flushed. Your radiator fluid is discolored. I never get out of the shop for less than $600, and most of the time the bill is north of $1,000. This is the way he writes. The front office help is great. They're very likable. Have you heard any complaints about this? And I said to him, my mother said not if I don't have anything nice to say, not to say anything. So the answer is I don't want to say anything. I trust the words of others, but I know little about cars, and I have to rely on the expertise of the mechanic. But it's feeling like they see me coming and take advantage of me. And my answer to him is, they do see you coming. They are taking advantage of you. You're spending probably a whole lot of money that you don't need to spend. Does anybody come in with an oil change and leave with a $600 to $1,000 bill every single time?
No.
No, no way.
I mean, what? First of all, no one comes in with that as a consecutive. Each oil change is $600 to $1,000. That's just not even, that's nothing in our wheelhouse.
Mm-mm.
It's just, if it's a $600 to $1,000, it's a big dog. Mm-hmm. We got suspension coming apart. We got tires that are wearing. We've got a brake system that's half down.
Drive axles, whatever.
Right. It's something that's going to cause them a breakdown, and we know that. But I don't know. It's just something that just bugs me about that kind of stuff with respect to. And then he writes, I really like them, and the front counter is the front counter people are really nice.
Well, I think too. I mean, he could still go there, but he could ask to see these things or ask to just be a little bit more involved as a customer. You know,
show me,
yeah. Or you know, call another shop, ask those questions. But just like he said with the radiator hoses, can ask them. Can you just tighten the clamp and pressure test it? Make sure it's not leaking. I mean, we don't know if they were selling them if it has 120,000 miles and then they're selling them hoses or and they've never been done. I mean, you know, kind of what that situation is. But just maybe ask more questions.
Well, what I see it is, I agree with you. They're throwing this whole stuff on the wall, but they don't put any numbers with it. Mm-hmm. So no one else can bid what they're doing because no one really knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're throwing the symptom out, but I agree with you. Get more involved. Mm-hmm. Show me. But it's also kind of nice to write it down and put an amount with it and then tell us who the tech is so that we can get back with him. Tell us exactly what it is that this $600 entails.
Right, and maybe visit another shop.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
second
like
opinion.
Going to a restaurant. I love the waitress, but that was the worst hamburger I ever had.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Are you making fun of me?
Well, yeah, and just, I mean, he can say no. He can say what needs to be done now or what can wait or I don't have the money right now. I mean, that's perfectly okay and fine. And then maybe if it's a big ticket, I can go get a second opinion at another shop and see. Because I would say 9 out of 10 times, you know, shops don't agree with recommendations.
From shop to shop.
Yeah.
But Andy, this could cause you, this loose clamp can cause the hose to blow off and cooling all over the ground and you're stuck. When we start talking about that there's corrosion, this bad connection could wipe out your battery and your alternator. No. These are things that you need to have done.
Well, I could make up that. If your shop does that, then you should find a new shop.
Well, and I'll never forget something that you said 20 plus years ago.
Wait a minute. You remember a lot of the stuff I said that isn't appropriate for radio.
No, this is fine.
Okay, go ahead.
If this was your mom's car, what would you do?
Yeah. Well, there's guys out there that would sell their mother the world, too. We've hired them before. that their whole life is that. And it depends on how they're paid and all that other kind of stuff. If they're flat rate or if they're paying hourly or whatever. It's just, this is the kind, in my opinion, this is the worst of our industry. This is where you throw stuff at the board, you hope it sticks, you don't give them any numbers, you create the perception that you have corrosion on your battery cables. Have you ever said that in 30 years here? I mean, it's a small amount of corrosion, or they show signs. Didn't I read that? Show signs of corrosion. Have you ever spent any money on
it? No, either say they're corroded or
right,
they're not.
Right, they're corroded or they're clean.
Right. Well, he writes down, quote, your battery cables show corrosion. Come on. Now, side terminals, I don't know if you could see corrosion on a side terminal. On a top terminal, you could.
Yeah, easily.
I just don't understand that. And then I saw one not too long ago where it was a car, and I think it was a fancy Toyota, that the battery's underneath the back seat. And all of a sudden, we have to take it and clean it out because it explodes from underneath the back seat. It can if there's a spark, and it can if it's gassing. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time we had a battery come in that was exploded that didn't blown up by the idiot with the jumper cables?
I cannot recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's always that way.
Yeah.
You create a spark, there's this haze of acid vapor on top, and the battery blows up. And it's quite an explosion. It scares the heck out of you. But the bottom line is from looking at that point of view, it doesn't happen. The odds are you're better off to win the lottery. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you have a call or a question or a comment, we'll take any of them. We'll be back. Four minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Mark Salem, Alan Salem, Andy Verdugo, and Eddie Caruso, we're all here at your service. You're welcome to join 602-508-0960. There's a good diesel shop way up in North Phoenix. It's called Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. Nate's a good guy. He's got hands like tennis rackets. He's exactly what that your daughter would bring home because he's just a really good, good guy, although he's married, so forget about that idea. And his wife heard that the other day, and she called me. She says, I'm laughing, okay? I know you're not trying to give my husband away. Nate, if you want to talk to Nate, he has this ability. He put twin turbos on his truck. The thing will stand up on its rear wheels and smoke the tires clean off of it. There's a lot of us that could do that, but he made it and made it work. It still idles and runs and gets decent fuel economy, so that's a pretty big deal. Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. All right, you guys. Oh, Eddie, real quick.
Yeah.
What did you say during the break?
Fear should never be a sales tool.
And I like that. We shouldn't. Except fear for the future. Can I change it to that?
Sure.
You have a problem, and it's going to bite you in the future, and we create fear. But the difference would be you got steel hanging out of your tires. You're taking the kids to Disneyland. That's fear, but it's a present fear.
But no, that's reality.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I'll take that. All righty, Tony, you're up first. How can we help you?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm back again.
Okay.
I'd like to have you give me some options of what I might do. I've got a 04 5.3 pickup, Chevy. I've had it new. It's got over 100,000 miles. If the engine vapor locks before I do, what options do I have as far as getting an engine that's a performance engine in there?
Okay.
In that 5.3. It's like a balanced engine. You know, if the body's perfect, I plan on keeping it as long as I'm alive, and
okay.
I just want to put another engine in it. I want something that will go.
Okay.
Of course, this one goes good, too. So what have I got?
Well, let me ask you a question. How many miles are on it?
Over 100,000.
Okay.
Between 100,000 and 100,000.
Eddie, he's no spring chicken.
Right.
He's not a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
What do you?
I wouldn't put a, quote, built engine in it. I'd put a replacement stock. I would put a stock replacement in it, but then I put like a Whipple supercharger on it.
Okay.
With a tuner.
What we're saying is we wouldn't build the motor. We would put accessories on to give you the power and performance that you want. But Eddie, let me change the question. How many miles? If he doesn't overheat it and run it low on oil, how many miles will this 5.3 run?
That's because they have problems with lifters and camshafts.
Okay.
You didn't have it that early though.
In 04.
No.
It started in 07 and a half.
Okay.
Okay, let's take out the possibility of that, something that happened last decade.
300,000 miles.
Exactly. We have so many vehicles today that are in the 300,000 and 400,000 mile mark. And so it has a lot to do with how you take care of it. Tony, I think that you and the, in 16 years, if you put 100,000 miles on it, then both of you are going to vapor lock at the same time, and it's probably another 10 years.
Put a supercharger on what you got right now, and then wait till it blows up, and then buy an engine.
There you go.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
There is engines available, right? Complete engines, right?
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're having somebody take a 5.3 out of the crate, and then they're adding their own camshaft and their own valves and their own this. They don't have any idea. They have to match the motor with the computer. And so if we start hopping up this motor and putting a stock computer in there, there's going to be some drivability problems. If we have a big camshaft and the vacuum is vacillating wildly, the computer doesn't know how to handle that. So, and you're probably an old drag racer in your earlier days, just like the rest of us.
Back to the 50s. I'm 86 years old.
Okay.
And I'm still working. I drive for a school district bus, and I feel like I'm in jail here right now, sitting around all the
time. Well, I got an idea for you. You bring that bus over here, and Alan, with his diesel
bus
skills, will make that thing do wheel stands for you. How's that?
No, 053, not a bus. I don't want a bus.
Tony, let me
tell you, I go back to the old 327. And the 283s.
That 5.3 is a 327.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But it's not like the old
327. Oh, right. No, you're right.
You know, physically.
1 minute.
And when the fuel pump was on the outside of the block, you could set the timing by the light with the transistorized ignition, on and on and on. No problem. Set that and take off to New York. Never miss a lick. I don't go for all this Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon stuff they got underneath the hood. Underneath the hoods nowadays.
Buck Rogers.
I don't care for them. I mean, you've got flat camshafts, you've got a ruptured appendix, you got everything else.
Oh, you got bad knees and shoulders and
ruptured
you got diabetes. And Tony, you're right. Tony, you're right. We can take that 5.3 and give you all you want, a little bit more. I mean, we, the industry, and we could do it for sure. We could give you all you want, but we would certainly talk you out of it because it's going to give you a little bit more. Put some hot exhaust on it and put a fancy air filter on it, make it sound better than it is, and you'll be fine.
I've got dual exhaust, and I've got the K&N filter on it.
Okay.
It really runs. I mean, this engine, when you listen to it, I sound like a cat that just got through eating a can of tuna.
Okay. All right.
Real good.
You know, Eddie looks like that sometimes.
What?
That's weird.
I'm jumping around a lot from broken appendages to cats and exhaust
and tuna.
I like talking to Tony. He should be a guest.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm an old gummer. I served in the military way back. And so I like your program. I listen to it every week, and I get all these thoughts that come in my mind, possibilities.
All right.
And so I'm just going to come over and just look at your place.
Okay.
Ask for Andy when you get here.
Oh, come on. Here's the deal. You're going to ask for Andy in the lobby, and Andy's going to pass you to Alan, and he's going to give you a tour of the shop. There's 20 bees out there, and half of them have toys. But I want to ask you a quick question because I got to take a break. Did you say you were a gummer?
Yeah, a gummer.
I didn't hear you. Again?
He's a gunner.
Oh. Gummer. No, gummer.
No, he said gunner.
No, he did not. What did you say? I'm an old gummer.
I'm an old gummer, yeah, way back. I was in the Korean conflict, and I'm 86, and I'm driving for a school district.
Okay.
That's awesome.
All right. Spell that gun word. Is it G-U-N-N-E-R?
Or M-M?
That's it.
Okay. All right. G-U-N-M-M-E-R. I misunderstood.
G-U-N-M-M-E-R.
Okay.
Gummer.
Okay. Yeah. Alan's a gummer, and he's not as old as you.
Gummer means they lose all their teeth, so all they have is gums. So older people, that's what they call them that.
Gummers.
Gummer.
Yeah. I thought it would be really derogatory. I would never call somebody.
Well, if you call yourself that, it ain't derogatory. If I called him that, it would be.
Oh, doesn't he come alive now? We start talking about people with no teeth. He comes alive.
Well,
hey, Tony.
Let me tell you, I still got my teeth, so I'm not. I don't pull them out to clean everything.
All right. Good enough. Well, anyway,
got everything.
Vince, you stay right there because we're going to take a break and we'll be right back and get you. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock, and everybody's getting their headphones on. That's the reason we're all making a bunch of noise. This portion of the Who's brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Since 1970, Thompson's has been a major player in car repair and the sale of gasoline in Mesa. The only shop in Mesa that has applied and passed my stringent requirements is Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. So I'm sorry that I can't provide you a north shop, a middle shop, and a south shop, or east or west. Thompson's is centrally located. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. So if you haven't got a good auto repair shop, may I suggest Thompson's would be your place. Vin, thank you for holding. How can we help you?
Yeah, I've got a 2010 RX350 SUV, and about 8 months ago I got my transmission fluid changed. I got 105,000 miles on it. And when I go up to pace on the first incline for the last couple of trips, the transmission warning light came on. And as I go down the decline, it goes off, and then I go up another incline, and it doesn't come on. We go all the way to Greer, and it never has come on, and it doesn't come on during driving in town.
Okay.
And I was just wondering what could be causing that problem.
Okay, let me ask you a real quick question. Did they give you this problem when they serviced the transmission? So otherwise, before this transmission service, this didn't happen?
It never happened before the transmission service.
Okay. If it were my shop, I would want you to come back and tell me that. I would want you to come back and say, you gave me a problem. In a nice way, you say, you gave me a problem that I didn't have. Could you check it out? Are you getting comments, Eddie?
Well, the question is, what is the icon, or what does the warning light say? Is this like a transmission overheat symbol?
It's actually a message. Transmission is overheating, and it's not in red, it's in orange.
Okay.
And they get up to that first pass, going to Payson and then going down, it turns off and it never comes on again.
Okay.
And even coming back from Greer, going through Payson and down to Phoenix, it never comes on. And there's some pretty steep inclines there, too.
Okay.
Now, I am...
Okay.
So
I just... Let me offer you a side note here. We need to check the fluid level, and that's their job. So we need to make sure that we're full of fluid. If they missed a quarter or two, that could be the reason. And you clearly have the signs of an overheat. The message says that. And so, but one of the things, go back to the shop first and talk to them and tell them they gave you a problem that you didn't have. The second thing is, I want you to do, how many miles are on this?
105.
I want you just to pull it out of overdrive. And when you start climbing those grades, I just want you to pull it down one or two gears. You probably have a 5-speed in there, so you can push the tow haul button or you can push the overdrive button and you can pull it down a gear. Let's bring the RPMs up and let's give the motor a little bit more power and see if the light goes off. Because if the light doesn't go on, that means we've kind of changed our driving habits to eliminate the transmission overheating. It'd be like trying to go up the hill with a 10-speed in 10th gear. It's not going to work out real good. It's going to work hard, but if you drop down...
There's a lot of shifting down going up those inclines.
Okay.
To keep the speed limit up.
Okay.
You know, keep this. So I was that was aggravating the situation a little bit. It was going from up and down, that way too.
The other question would be is, when you get the message the transmission is overheating, does your coolant temperature gauge, is it above what it would normally be? So is the coolant and the transmission getting hot, or is the temperature rising together, or is the coolant level or the coolant temperature always the same and it's just the transmission?
My coolant level stays the same and never goes.
As far as the temperature gauge?
Halfway.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think the answer to the question is going to be answered when we go back and double check the transmission service work. And I want to tell you that if it were my shop, I think, Eddie, you'd agree, and Alan, this would be something we'd want to check the fluid level right off the bat.
Absolutely, and I agree with you because it could be low on fluid, but not low enough where it's causing a shifting issue.
Or a slip.
Correct. But the fluid absorbs the heat. If you're a quart low, you've just lost, say it holds 10 quarts, you just lost 10% of your ability to to cool and to accept the heat.
Yeah, so we're going to pump the hot fluid out of the transmission, and we're going to go through a cooler, and then we're going to bring it back in. And so we just need, but I like the fact that you said that it's gearing down itself. That means you are bringing up the RPMs and you are dropping into a lower gear, so you don't need to do what I said, but I like that you said that. Just take it back to the shop. That's the first place to go.
Yeah.
All righty, let's go to Don.
Yeah, that's pretty reasonable. Thank you.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. And you liked the shop, and he said that they were pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
And I would certainly give him another try. I certainly wouldn't yank the rug out from underneath him. Don, you're up.
Good morning, Mark. This is Don. I've got a 2015 Buick LaCrosse. And it's got 58,000 miles on it, and the driver's side rear view mirror drifts downward in the first mile or so of driving, and I'm wondering if that's something that is an easy repair or if it's an expensive repair.
Alan, have we ever done anything like that?
We do a lot of mirrors. Mirrors seem to get a lot more technologically advanced, every year with the heat and the dimming and the left, the signals and all that kind of stuff.
The cameras and the mirrors.
Yeah, the cameras. I mean, it just, I'd have to see it. So, and sometimes you can just change the glass, but it may not be just a glass issue. It may be the motor behind the glass, in which case you'd have to do the whole thing. So it's hard to say if it's electronically moving down or if it's just loose and rolling down.
If you use a mirror and put the mirror back up in the correct position, will it stay there?
It'll stay there for maybe a mile, and then it'll go back down again.
So you're constantly having to adjust it back up, going down, up and down?
Exactly.
All right.
Let me ask you.
I adjust it back up, it goes down again.
Okay. Obviously, that wouldn't be the most difficult diagnosis that we'd have to make. The question is the motor holding it in one position or is it not?
Right, and it sounds like it's not.
How about this, though? What happens if we've got an errant signal that thing is in reverse and the mirrors are dropping down so that you look closer to the ground and at your rear bumper and stuff?
It should be both mirrors, then.
You're right. Thank you for that. You're right. So do both mirrors do it or just one, Don?
Just the one, just the left one.
Okay.
Right. What fold up a piece of paper?
No, I was just going to say that, Alan. An easy fix.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead.
Grab a little piece of cardboard and just put it between the window or the mirror frame and the glass.
I'm so proud of you guys.
So it can't drop down. it might not aesthetically look pleasing, but it's going to look better than that bill.
Yeah, but then if they do fold or they do tilt down in reverse, then it's not going to work. Or it's just going to wipe the cardboard out of the way anyways.
We've seen mirrors that are $1,000, in excess of $1,000. So, I'm not saying that's what yours is, but...
Another thing you could do, and Don, I'm saying this with a big smile on my face, so don't you do it, is get some of that spray foam, get the mirror where you like it, and then just
don't listen to Mark, Don.
If you've got to replace it anyway, it's not a bad idea.
Don, it's...
I've thought about that, but I'm not going to do that. I thought about a rubber shim, but...
I agree with these guys. A little cardboard or something like that, something that's kind of soft to just hold the top or the bottom of the mirror in place.
I guess the question I have on your vehicle, when you go in reverse, do your mirrors automatically tilt down so you can see?
No, they don't.
Okay, then I'm fine with that rubber shim.
Yeah, I am too. I am too.
Is there?
It's like the papil oven. Set it. Forget it.
Yeah.
Could you unplug the motor like when it's in a certain position, or it would still down?
I don't think it's electrical. I think it's just worn out.
Right.
I think it's just worn out and just kind of rotating down.
Okay.
And it's only 5 years old, and he's only got 58,000 miles on it. So it's either going to be a linkage problem that's worn, or something like that, or it's going to be the motor is not locking in one place. But I still think the papil. Stick some underneath the mirror is the best thing. Okay. Like Alan said, this could be a really big deal. And at the end of the day, Don, I promise you this much. You would be sorry if we had to put a new mirror on your car, paint it to match, and then install it. The bill would be horrendous. And at the end of the day, say, I wish I'd have done the cardboard. And where do you live, by chance?
In City West.
Sun City West?
Go over to Auto Dynamics. And tell them that you want the cardboard thing and tell them to Mark Salem. Okay?
I'll do it.
Just talk to them about what we just talked about, and they suggested it's part of the diagnostic process, too, because if we put the cardboard in there and it still moves around a bunch, it's entirely possible that the motor is on and off or something like that, or linkage that's come apart. I don't know. But if it holds good with the cardboard, tell them to send me the bill.
So, to rule out the switch, put your mirror adjust switch in the neutral position. So normally you have, you can adjust the left one, you can adjust the right one. Just put it in the middle where you can adjust either one, and that way there's, you can just rule out something going on with the switch.
Well, that's a good idea.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Good.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much, Don. Thank you. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're going to come back for with another hour of the show. We'll be back about 3 minutes after the top of the hour. So if you're looking at your clock, 11:03, 11:03 and a half, 11:04, something like that, we'll be back. So you won't have to wait long. 602-508-0960. Sitting to my left is Eddie Caruso, ASE Master Tech. He's been with our facility for 31 years. And he handles Fords and old cars and hot rods. He's really good with lenses.
Anything.
And, yeah, he can fix anything.
I had a 74 Di Tommaso Pantera this last week.
Yeah.
All right, I'll ask you real quick.
I had one of those at Filiberto's the other day.
Oh, Jesus. I wasn't working on a burrito.
Oh, God. Oh.
It was nice, too.
Okay, what was the car that we vacuumed out the vermiculite of the engine? What was that?
A Bentley.
Was it a Bentley?
Yeah.
What year? It was 30s or 40s?
I think it was like a 37.
Okay, it came in. Nobody could fix the overheat. You pulled the freeze plugs out of it. The engine's filled with what? Blew by gravel.
Right.
We vacuumed the heck out of it and put it all back together, and the problem's solved.
Mm-hmm.
The question really is that we could never answer is why was it in there? I mean, why was trash inside the cooling system around the cylinder?
It was just water from the 30s. I don't know if it ever had a cooling system flush.
Okay. So at the end of the day, we were only overheating a couple of cylinders, right? Did he know that? Or did your temperature gun tell you that the two middle ones were the hotter ones of the 4,
yeah,
5, 6?
Yeah, the temp gauge told me that, but the engine itself was overheating.
Okay. All right. So it was just, he had a lot of other estimates on that rare with respect to what to do, head gaskets and all kinds of stuff. So the cost associated with what ultimately fixed it was probably dramatically less than an engine.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So those are the kinds of things Eddie does. Alan does the old vehicles. He does the diesels. He's really good at Fords, folks. If you've got a Ford that when you honk the horn, that it barks, he fix that. If you have a Ford that only starts on Wednesdays, he can fix that. If you have a Ford, God bless you anyway, because but Eddie's sitting here and he's a Ford guy too. Is that right?
I bleed Ford blue.
You bleed Ford blue? Yeah, next time he bleeds Ford blue, take a picture of that for me. Okay? 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and we'll be back talking cars probably in about 4.5 minutes. So we'll see you then. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We have two lines taken. If you'd like to join us, there's three left, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Automatic Transmission Exchange. Been around since 1968. They started just slightly a few years after automatics really came into play, which was earlier 60s and late 50s. Phil and his staff have been around a long time. They're very good at what they do. So the only transmission shop in Phoenix that I can recommend is Automatic Transmission Exchange, and they're on 40th Street in Washington. And as you go east and west on the Washington loop there, you'll be able to look on the north side of the street, and you'll say to yourself, I know where Mark was talking about. Anyway, let's go to the phones, and we're going to do ladies first. Sharon, you're up first. How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a 2007 Saturn Sky. No parts available anymore. Replace where I took it, they pulled a rabbit out of the hat and got me some hoses from an old Pontiac dealership back in New Jersey. Mm. Right now, my rack and pinion steering harness thing is weeping. And they said they're going to have to take it out and have it rebuilt. And you, one of the guys that's on your list, rebuilt stuff. What shop is that? I know he's up on Bell or somewhere, right?
I don't know.
I live in Paris.
Okay.
You were talking about him because some gal had a pickup truck with an air conditioning unit she had built, had him put in for her.
Okay.
And she did a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, that AC was Blackwell.
Yeah. 40th Street and Greenway. Blackwell did that, 40th Street and Greenway. But let's back up a minute. Is the rack and pinion is what's leaking on your car?
That's what they said my last oil change, that okay. it's sweeping.
Are you seeing a leak on the ground? Is the fluid low?
I don't know. I'm taking it back in here in a couple of weeks to get the oil changed.
Okay, well, the question is, does your power steering still work?
Yeah.
You still have assist?
Oh, it's still working.
Does it make any whining noise?
Not as far as I've noticed, no.
Oh, you'd know.
Yeah.
You'd know.
I don't. Weeping is something that gets Mark's panties in a wad.
Oh, yeah. I can't stand that word,
yeah.
Weeping.
I mean, if you're not having any of the symptoms and you're not seeing leaks and it's not low or not significantly low, I probably wouldn't even do anything.
Right. And I wasn't surprised when you said that you got hooked for your Sky from a Pontiac dealership because the Solstice and the Sky are twins.
You're just going to say
yeah,
that, yeah.
Sister cars. In fact, where I live, there's a Solstice about three doors down.
Oh, well, there's your parts car.
There's one that, yeah, donor car.
All right, well, you need parts, then call Alan. He's got some friends that will go over there and buy the parts.
Stop.
All right, let's cut to the, Sharon, do you park it inside your garage or on your driveway?
I don't have a garage. I have covered parking. I live in a condo.
Okay. Do you ever see any oil leaking when you back out? Are there huge oil spots on the ground?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Here's the problem. Eddie's right. It would whine as you turn left and right. It would whine if it was low on fluid. You would have a leak that may very well manifest itself to spots of oil on the back of your car. As you drive down the road, the leak falls to the ground. The wind carries it to the back, swirls it, and you end up with spots of oil on your rear bumper. I don't think that you have symptoms of a significant leak at all. And I want to tell you something. Weeping and seeping and leaking are three different things. Weeping is, I'm going to tell you it's weeping so I can sell you the repair.
Yeah, they're weeping because they want some money.
Yeah. Okay. And then leaking is the customer comes in and says, I got a spot of red fluid on my driveway, and it's getting bigger and bigger. That's leaking. And so but if it's just gushing, you'll know that too because it won't be long. You'll start the car up. You'll drive a mile, and all of a sudden you won't have any power steering. I just think it's worth another look. So I think maybe taking and doing an oil change to someplace and just say to them, would you give my power steering system a good look over? That's all. But I don't like the fact that we're asking you symptoms questions and you don't have the right answer. Not that you don't give us the right answer, but if in fact it had this leak, then you would have said that it whines, you would have said you've added fluid, and you would have said something about a leak that it left.
She could have the leak. It could be very, very minor, but our point is that you don't have symptoms related with a leak that needs to be repaired.
And that's kind of the weeping word that just drives me crazy. And you're right, Eddie.
Right. And normally we don't fix leaks until they hit the ground.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not until you start adding fluid and they hit the ground, then all of a sudden the leak is something that needs to be addressed. But
and the majority of the time when the rack leaks, it leaks into the bellows, and you don't see it until the bellows either swell because of the fluid or it starts coming out between the bellows and the clamp.
Let me explain, Sharon. On the end of the rack and pinion, there's two rubber boots. So when you turn right, the left one extends and the right one collapses. If we leak into oil into those boots, as we collapse them, as you turn all the way right, all the way left, they'll squirt a little fluid on the ground because we're taking this rubber boot, this round rubber boot thing, and we're squishing it. So if it's got fluid in it, it squishes on the ground. Don't laugh at that, you guys. I'm going to turn off your microphones. So you just don't have what it takes. So we're telling you wait till it gets worse and you have to deal with it, okay?
Okay, yeah, because I know they're going to have to rebuild the part or whatever, and I'm just like,
Yeah, and it's not going to be cheap. I imagine it's going to be a cheap repair.
No, but
cheaper than a new car.
Okay, but Eddie, are you scared of finding a rack for this that's rebuilt if it's got a sister car out there?
No, I mean, I think ATSCO's still here in town, and they rebuild power steering units.
And something else, too. We have a parts department like nobody else. All we need is an OEM number, and we can find that rack someplace. They've pulled rabbits out of their hats a lot. So there's a lot of people in the parts department, the parts divisions, that can track your rack. So let's deal with that when you get there, okay? Let's just deal with
that. Cool.
Thank you, Sharon. And, John, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark. To call on behalf of my dad. He's got an 04 Lexus with the automatic side mirrors.
Okay.
And the driver's side mirror, when I turn the car on, it slides from the closed position to the open position. doesn't hitch in the right spot. It just keeps going all the way out.
Is this a?
I think it's.
Is this an LS or an ES?
LS 430, I believe.
Okay, yeah, I got a 2001. Yeah, those mirrors are problems.
So tell me what the fix is.
I think somebody bumped it, and it's, you know, so that little hitch where it's supposed to stop, it doesn't catch. It just keeps going. I've taken it to a couple of shops, and they said the only thing you can do is just tear off the, you know, take off the whole assembly, buy a new assembly, paint it, and put it on, and that's going to be like $800.
Yeah, those mirrors are expensive.
I'm wondering if there's, is there any other solution, you know, to, rather than just buying a whole new assembly and having it put on and having, you know, having to pay $800?
So if you physically, with the vehicle off, move that mirror where it's supposed to be, it doesn't lock into place, it won't stay there?
Well, what I do now is when the car's off, the mirrors automatically turn in. When I start it, the mirror automatically starts turning out. I have to roll down the window, and I catch it with my hand, and then it'll stop and stay in that spot.
It will stay in there. So, just turn that feature off. You've got on the left side of the steering column, on the dash, there's the buttons for the auto retract and manual retract. Just put it in the middle where they don't retract.
All right, I'm walking out to the car right now because I couldn't find any feature. That
I want to tell you something. Don, or John, if he fixes this, we're sending you a bill, buddy. Okay? I'm just telling you, if you get in there and he tells you to put that switch in the middle position, you open and close the doors, and they're done. You're getting a bill.
No, I understand. I'm willing to pay for good advice.
All right.
Good advice.
Okay. All right.
John's like, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, here's, I went out here, and I can't turn off this. Oh. All right, you know what? I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot.
I'll call you later.
Did you see the button?
Yeah, I see the button.
It's okay. Right next to the mirror adjust.
Yeah.
Just go to manual, okay? That's all we want you to
just
do.
Just go to the middle.
Middle section. And then the key's in your pocket when you do that. Then you start the car up, and it should then reprogram that thing and not have that mirror flop.
It cancels the auto retract.
I understand, but it's easier to, because he'll turn the key on, and it may or may not do it, and you have to cycle the key. So I'm just saying, let's do it with the key in the pocket. All righty, what's your zip code?
85259.
Okay, and we already have a phone number because Gil has ID. If it works, call us back.
I'll just give you, here, you know what? I'm in the car.
Here, I'll take it.
Taking your advice.
Okay.
I'm going to put the mirror thing to the middle position.
Yep.
Just turn the car off. Now I'm going to turn it back on. Now it's still, it does, the mirrors still go.
Okay, go to the extreme left or the extreme right and see what happens then on the switch. On the switch.
All right, hold on.
What are the positions, Eddie?
There's auto retract when you turn the key off. There's manual retract.
All right, I'm going to the.
And then the middle is just
left.
They just stay there when you turn the key off.
And nope, it kept going. So in all three positions. You know, the option where you where it automatically closes when you turn the car off.
Yes.
It goes out. Here, I'm going to do one more time. Close, turn off, turn on. Nope, the mirror. Oh, you know what? This one worked.
Okay.
I put it in the middle position.
Okay, there was one other step. You go down to the Humane Society and get a cat and wave it around your head until it meows five times.
And then, I got it.
All right, so now it works.
You guys are having too much fun with me.
Okay, now listen. It's important for other people to know that we're not going to be able to pull this off when they call.
No.
It just happens that you have that car.
Right.
Okay. So, and if you did come to our shop, that bill would have been $217, somewhere around there, Andy?
Probably.
At
like
least.
$500. Just kidding.
So
$700, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the thing of it is in reality, if this went to the right guy, this would be you would pay for experience, but you wouldn't pay to have somebody go through the whole process and then figure out there's a switch there.
Yeah.
So
right. You want to pay for what someone knows. You don't want to pay to educate them.
Yeah, on the job training.
Yeah.
So this is the difference. Is you own how many Lexuses do you own?
I've had two.
Okay.
An ES and an LS.
All right, so you've had two. You've been a Ford guy ever since you hit your head. And so it, this just was lucky you were on the show today. I wouldn't have got that. I wouldn't have got that. But anyway, I'll tell you what, John, what we want you to do is next time the plate passes you, and I'm not talking about the dinner plate, next time the plate passes you, just put some extra dough in there and we'll be happy, okay?
Oh, I like your idea.
Okay. Thank you very much, John. 602-508-0960. We have open lines available. We got five. I can hear Gil snoring in the background. He runs. He's the pilot of this airplane. So if he has nothing else to do, because you're not calling, 602-508-0960. Okie dokie, 20 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, Mark Salem, Alan Salem, Andy Verdugo, and Eddie Caruso. So you've got a variety of experience. Eddie, how many in the auto repair industry?
I've been doing this professionally since 1986.
Okay, so how many years? Do the math real quick.
34.
I'll give you, 34, Andy?
About 18.
Okay.
Been here.
And you? Hey,
yeah, serious. How long? I don't know. 20 some years?
Yeah, okay. So we're close to 100 years of experience in the auto repair industry. It just sitting here at the table, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was working on cars before I could drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, and Alan was wrecking him and getting speeding tickets before. He was supposed to be driving.
That's
but
right.
Anyway, let's
what are you holding your hand up for?
You're making me nervous with that chair.
I locked this chair in, and I can't figure it out. If it comes apart, y'all better shut your eyes.
You know,
he is in a...
Hey, stop. Because
a rocker chair and trying to adjust the back.
Other people are going to sit in there. You're going to break it. And then when they sit down, they're going to flip over backwards.
You know how you go back and then you push the little thing in so it holds you back?
Yeah, you need to go for it.
I can't find the hole.
Okay. That's fine. We're moving on. Steve, good morning to you. I'm going to kill his mic, too. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I have a 2017 Honda Ridgeline. When I purchased it, I didn't have any issues with it at all, but I live up in Dewey, Arizona, and there's a lot of potholes on our road coming up to our home, and after a very short while, I started hearing this knocking sound. When I accelerate to turn left or in reverse turning the wheel, I'd hear a knocking sound. When I'm going down the road, it's fine, as long as I'm not on a dirt road. I've taken it into Action Auto, and they replaced, they said both struts, or one strut needed to be replaced, but my extended warranty people said to replace them both, which they did.
Wow, that's unusual.
That is really unusual.
Yeah, tie rod had, and this has 66,000 miles on it when I took it in. The tie rod had a crack in it, so they replaced that on the right-hand side, or maybe the left, I can't remember. But the knocking sound continues after all that. I read online in a Ridgeline
forum.
They said basically that sometimes the our one guy said that he'd had the bracket that holds the radiator and that sort of thing. The bolts had come loose. So they took the front end apart at Action Auto.
Okay. We need to talk. Okay, so we don't. Is this a suspension knock or is it a steering knock? Is it related to you going over bumps, speed bumps, and the car's going straight ahead? And when it starts bouncing?
Bumps, I just hear it when I accelerate or when I'm in reverse or going forward initially. But it's usually when I'm accelerating and off a dead when I'm at a standstill that I hear the knock.
Now, is this just a single knock?
No. It's kind of a when I say a knock. I don't even know how to describe. That's the best I can tell you, and that's what they call it. Action Auto 2 is a knock. We still hear the knock.
Okay. Did you take them for a ride with you and show them the knock?
Yeah. They've heard it. They know what it sounds like.
We can't diagnose a knock. Okay. We can't diagnose a knock. What we hear you saying is it's on acceleration from a stop. If you take off easy, is the knock there? Or if you take off hard, is the knock worse?
I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Can I just interject that I went to a Honda service guy and asked him if he'd had any of the Ridgelines that had that problem, and he said, yeah, they'd had one in a couple of weeks before, and it was a motor mount.
Okay.
But Action Auto said they checked them on all my motor mounts when I called them to tell them that. So
okay.
I'm not sure, what was going on.
All right, well, I'm, you know, kind of speechless with all this information. My hard drive is just overloaded. Motor mount was the first thing I thought of because you said it does it when you take off. But I'm not going to trust the technicians to tell me that the motor mounts look okay. It's pretty easy to determine if the motor mount's bad. Here's how you do it. You open up the hood and you get your eyeball on the motor mount. Eddie gets in the car. He puts the thing into drive and then he stuffs the throttle to the floor. The engine lifts up. The motor mount's clearly broken. Then he lets go of the throttle. Boom! The motor falls down. Okay, we got a broken motor mount. So okay. I think you go back to them and you again show them exactly what it is. I'm not used to agreeing with people on the internet because they can be a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, and if they were that fixing cars, then they'd be working for me. So, Eddie?
Yeah. Well, point I wanted to get across was, okay, when you accelerate, you get the knock, but we'll only do it once until you brake again, and then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so that sounds like we've got a control arm that's shifting.
Right, that's what I was saying. That's fine. The issue is.
Because basically you're taking off and you're forcing the control arm to go back. And so it's back as far as it can go. You accelerate again, it can't move until you hit the brakes, and now the control arm moves back forward.
Oh, actually it was the control arm they replaced, and not wasn't a tyroid. It was a control arm was cracked. So they did replace one on one side.
Well, somebody has to drive. Again, we're not going to fix this on the air, but somebody has to drive it. Now, Eddie and I would drive it, and I'd drive, and he'd sit in the passenger seat, and we'd make it happen, and then we'd switch places. And at the end of that gyration, you're buying two technicians at $400 an hour, then we're going to figure out whether it's on the passenger side or the driver's side because it's going to be a unanimous decision. So those are the processes that you need to go through. Certainly you should go back to Action because they were the ones that worked on it last. It could very well be that they left something loose. There could be a variety of things. But as far as the diagnostics is concerned, the most important part is you go out and drive it. And if you can make it when you first step on the throttle, kind of hard but not enough to spin the tires, then you come up to a traffic light and you're just a little aggressive in your braking and there's a clunk there, then I think they'll pick up on that real quick. Anyway, thanks. Thank you very much, Steve. That's an interesting one to move forward with. Terry, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got a 2000 Ford Super Duty F-250. It's got the independent front suspension. I call it a wishbone.
Okay.
Anyway, I've replaced all the front end parts except the steering box, and I had it aligned, and I flipped the tires around and, you know, had them balanced, and I've still got a shimmy. I don't have the death wobble, but I do have a shimmy. I'm looking for a good alignment shop that can fix this problem.
Did you do all this work yourself?
I did everything myself except I had the bushings pressed in for those back braces.
Okay.
And I had the alignment done.
When you have a shimmy, the steering wheel moving left and right?
Not
yes.
Really, it's just shimmy in at 40 miles an hour, and then it'll smooth out a little bit.
Once more time, when you're driving down the road, when it shimmies, does the steering wheel move left and right? You can feel the shimmy in the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. If you did all that work, then this is what I want you to do. I want you to lay underneath the front of the truck. I want you to have your wife get in the truck, set the parking brake, have you start the truck. She puts her hand at 12 o'clock on the steering wheel. She goes left about the width of her hand and then the right. You look and see. You're going to be able to see the play. And you're going to see something that's got two arms, and the first arm's going to move, and then the second arm's going to move. So instead of moving in complete synchronization, one portion of the suspension will move before its mate moves. This isn't a tough thing to do. So if you've got a shimmy and you're feeling it in the steering wheel, then there's something loose in the front end. Anything else?
Does it do it when you're braking as well?
I let up on the gas and brake. It'll shimmy at 40 miles an hour, speeding up, and it'll shimmy at 40 miles an hour, slowing down.
So when you're on the brakes, it will do it as well?
Out of gear. Yeah.
Okay. It's a tire.
And it could be warped rotors.
Yeah.
It's a balance issue. I don't care if you told me you've had them balanced 5,000 times. I've heard that a million times.
Okay, we got to be back right after this. Stay there. the hour of 11 o'clock, and we're going to go straight to the phone. And Jim, you're up next. How can we help you? Jim?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Real quick, I think this is a pretty simple question. I have a 2015 Honda Accord. It was wrecked pretty severely at about 45,000 miles, almost totaled, but it wasn't. It was put back together. I'm getting a moaning noise when the car just idles, a power steering fluid problem, but these don't have power steering fluid. Is that correct? In the 2015 Accord, is it electronic power steering? Is that right?
I don't know the
answer. I can't say off the top of my cuff.
I don't know when they switched them over.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. If you turn the steering wheel left and right, does the noise change?
No.
Okay.
It's just constant.
Okay. Well, there's an easy way to know if you have electronic power steering or if you have conventional with a pump. Turn the key to the run position, but do not start the vehicle. If you can turn if you can turn the steering wheel just as easily as if it was running, then you have electronic power steering. If it's just stiff, then you have conventional power steering with a pump.
Okay. Okay, and then you said, because I'm in the car, so you turn it to like it's on even though the car's off.
Yes.
And then you said move the steering wheel.
Yeah.
It's the board.
Okay, you have conventional power steering. You do not have electronic power steering.
So you have a pump and you have a rack and we're pumping fluid. So if you're sitting there and it's in a neutral position and there's no noise, mm-hmm. right? And then when you turn the steering wheel left and right, is that where the moan happens?
No, it just happens when the car's idling. Whether it gets louder when I go down the road, but when it's just sitting idling, it still makes the moaning noise, not as loud.
Okay, we're just going to
hum.
Yes, you're going to have to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, this could be an alternative that's making noise.
Yeah, we're confused because a moan would be typically a fluid-related problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not going to be a mount. It's not going to be a rubber bushing on the rack. It's not going to be any of that because the word moan is kind of fooling us.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, what moans?
I mean, it could be the transmission. It could be the power steering.
Something hydraulic.
Yeah, it could be the... I mean, does this... If you put it... If you start up and you're in park and you have the moan and you increase the RPM, does the moan... change.
Yes, it increased. Yes,
okay.
It increased.
So it's RPM related.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
That should be easy to, if you've done a good job in being able to direct us on how to make it happen. Now, is it temperature sensitive? Does it do it morning? Does it do it in the afternoon after you've been driving it? Is it temperature sensitive?
No, 24/7. It could be in the morning when I head to work, lunch at night. It's the constant same.
Okay, that's not going to be a tough one to find out what it is.
The first thing you do is put a stethoscope on different components on it and see if you can pinpoint where it is. And then if you have to, you take the serpentine belt off of it, which eliminates everything, the alternator, the power steering pump. If the line is still there, then it's not one of the accessories. It has to be something in the engine and the transmission.
Moan. Don't call it a whine. It's a
moan. Oh, moan. Sorry,
yeah.
Moan.
Moan. Okay, that's I agree. Another thing you could do is spray the belt down with water. and that will certainly, if it changes the noise, then that will certainly send you in the right direction. But it's something that I don't think I've ever, moan that doesn't go away. And that's kind of a, I don't know.
That's why it would lead me to an alternator, like you say.
Yeah.
Like an alternator.
No. Yeah, I step on it. Like I said, when the RPMs go up, then it just gets louder. It just decreases the moan or whatever you want to call it. It just gets louder.
And the motor, the noise is rhythmic to the RPM of the engine?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So does the moan change or does it have the same sound both at idle and 2,000 RPM?
Same sound, just the volume's louder.
Okay. I want you just to change it from moan. I want you just to show them and say, come out here, I want to demonstrate this noise.
Okay.
Okay? Because I think the moan might be the wrong adjective, but I've been wrong before. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you. Thank you. Dan, you're up next. How can I help you?
Hey, hello there. I've got a 2002 Escape V6. Four-wheel drive, and we've had the air conditioning compressor replaced, and unfortunately, we go out of town to a property we've got just outside of Baghdad. Lots of up and down mountain, up to Yarnell also. She lives up there. If the thing will freeze you out, and no sooner do you get on a slight incline, and it just, like a declining spiral, the air conditioning just goes away. The steeper you get, the worse it is.
Okay.
Now, are you saying the AC goes away as far as cooling or the volume of air?
Cooling.
Okay.
Volume of air is strong as can be. It's almost like you're turning the Freon off.
Okay. Eddie?
Is that a vacuum system, vacuum operating system?
It is, but he says he's not losing volume of air. He's losing the cold air.
The temperature. Oh, the air volume is fine. It's the temperature of the air that's different.
I mean, on a hard Excel, when you get close to wide open throttle, the PCM, the computer, will turn off the air conditioning compressor to give the engine more power. So if you've got your foot stuffed to the floor climbing these hills, it's going to turn the air conditioning off.
Does it go back to blowing cold?
Once you get on level ground.
Okay. Yeah. Here's what you do. When you're going downhill, I want you to go wide open throttle. Okay? I mean, don't make your wife scream at you and all that other kind of stuff. Don't do any criminal speed. But the difference is going uphill, heavy throttle, going downhill, heavy throttle. We think that the load is going to make the difference. That's what we're thinking. So if, in fact, it is the load and the PCM is shutting off the air compressor because it sees that you've got your foot to the floor, it's going to shut off the AC to give you some extra power.
Okay.
So, but if you go up easy and don't go hard throttle and just climb the hill and try to maintain some 52, 55, 60 miles an hour, and it doesn't go cold or doesn't go hot, then I think we've answered the question. I can't think of any why the compressor would kick in and out. Maybe the blend or loses vacuum or something like that.
No,
but I don't know. The fellow that's been working on this has been just spot on with all the work he's done. And he's gone in and out and around and through this air conditioning unit and just he can't figure it out.
Well, you have to get it in the environment.
We've got load stuff that we go real slow on and it's like Jeep trails. And it just seems like it when you start a climb for whatever reason, and we can't go full throttle, of course, on a Jeep trail, and it does the same thing.
Okay.
Now we did replace the PCM. I could not unlock the car, and it was affecting the fuel pump also. There was a
that's all theft deterrent stuff. It's not going to have anything to do with this. Here's the deal.
Okay.
I want you. Where's your fan speed at when you're doing this? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Full tilt.
All the way to 4.
Yeah.
Well, all the way to 4.
Okay, and is your air condition on recirculation, outside air, maximum? What's your AC at?
Max. We put it on max.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to take a break, and we'll come right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. I think I've got everything right, but my earphones are sounding kind of... Oh, I'll just turn them down a little bit. Anyway, before we go on with the call, and we're going to talk to Dan, but it won't take long on Dan's deal, Blackwell Automotive is up at 40th and Greenway. He really does a good job. I've known Tom for probably 25 years or more. He's really good at tracking down problems. He's really good in oil changes all the way to the most sophisticated ones, and he has a good handle on being able to communicate with the customer and at least narrow down which direction we're going to go to. But the best part about, he'll agree with me on this, the best part is if you can make it happen and take a technician with you, most of the time that's the very best thing you can do. So Blackwell Automotive, 40th and Greenway. Dan, we've talked about your escape during the break, and none of us, it's just the menu is wide open. So somebody has to drive
it. Quick question. If I may, is there a computer that expressly controls the air conditioning unit that may, for whatever reason, have something that maybe even falls back on, or we all just does something really strange that might be replaceable to fix this?
No.
The car is just a sound and solid.
Okay. Eddie, have you ever fixed a car by replacing the computer that controls the climate control with the symptoms that he has?
No.
Okay. That's a better question.
Okay.
You can't go out there and guess because you're talking a lot of money. You're talking a lot of money. So it's better just to be able to duplicate it and find a shop to do it. What part of town do you live in?
I'm in Tempe. Salem Brothers is my next stop.
Okay, and that's fine.
Back down here.
All right, that's fine. You'll take somebody for a ride, Andy and Alan will make sure of that, and you demonstrate what it is. Even if we have to hook some gauges up to it and tape them to the windshield, we'll do that. But then we just have to be around when it's happening.
To go to Point South Mountain then to get up that incline for it to do it. It will not do it any other time.
Okay, well, we're going to check the fundamentals first, okay? We're going to check the fundamentals.
Sure.
Okay, thank you very much. Mario, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, hi, Mark. I have a 1977 X09P yacht, and I'm having issues with it shifting normally from second to third, and then from fourth to third. It'll grind. If I do it really slow, It won't grind.
Eddie?
It sounds like this is a manual transmission, correct?
Oh, yes, correct.
It sounds like there's a problem with the synchronizer.
I was going to say the same thing. The synchronizer is supposed to let you seamlessly go from one gear to the other without any chatter at all.
They bring them up to speed so they mesh correctly.
And so one's not going at 40 miles an hour and the other's going at 80 miles an hour. So the synchronizer helps that. I don't think you want to take that transmission out. I don't think a clutch adjustment, I'm thinking out loud, clutch adjustment is going to help with this at all.
No.
A fluid? No?
I doubt it. Not if it's just one particular gear or two gears.
Yeah.
On an upshift or a downshift, no.
Yeah, and what's your...
Typically, there's a fluid issue, there's also noise.
Okay. And in this particular case, you've learned how to shift by waiting until those two gears are slowed down, and one slows down and one speeds up. So, and that's how they drive big trucks. They don't use the clutch. They go from seventh to eighth just by waiting until the teeth line up. It's hard to explain. It's easy to do.
Yeah, well, you got to match your road speed to your transmission speed. But then take the old transmissions where we had to double clutch to shift them.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, if you want to do something, go change the fluid and see what happens. If it hasn't been done yesterday or the day before, just have somebody drain the fluid and put the right fluid back in it. And here, see if it makes a change or not. If it's better or worse, at least we know that. But
I've had this problem for quite a while. And I have changed the transmission fluid, and it doesn't affect it anyway.
Okay. How many miles are on the Fiat?
125,000.
Okay. I don't know. You drive it, and if it's the synchronizers, then you take it out and you take it apart and you replace the synchronizers. And when we get in there, we're going to find some other problems. This could get expensive. So, how many miles a year do you put on this?
Oh, I don't drive it very often. Maybe 5,000.
Okay. I'd probably leave it alone if it were mine. I mean,
yeah, I kind of want to be able to shift it like I used to. Is there a repair shop that even works on those guys anymore?
I would call A&S Transmissions up in North Phoenix. A&S, Automatic and Standard. Talk to Alger, A-L-G-E-R, and ask him if he wants anything to do with this. He's the best transmission guy I know for this.
Okay.
All righty.
If I can. Do you ever, I'd like to ask him a question about a different car. It's a body, paint body thing.
Okay. Hurry up.
Yeah, it's got, I want to repaint the cars. The 1963 Ford Fairlane. I was trying to find a shop that does a good job.
Okay. Is that all you want, is the paint done? Are you going to stick with the same color?
Yes. Okay. Same color, but it needs some body work.
Okay. And let me change your question. Mark, have you needed any body work yet lately? And I go, yeah, one of my employees just rubbed the left side of my truck off. Who did you take it to? Phoenix Body Works up in North Phoenix.
Okay.
Were you happy with it, Mark? Yeah, I really was. On a 1 to 10 scale, how did they do? An 11. So Phoenix Body Works would be the guy that I would take it to and have him look at it. Just say, is this in your wheelhouse? Is this something that you're going to do and do well? That's what I would do.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And do we have anybody else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. The tough part about the radio show is the give and take part. And then there's three answers to every question.
Yes,
yes,
no, I don't know.
That's right. And we don't hear a lot of I don't knows, which can then makes us get a little closer. We'll ask the question, is it speed related, is it temperature related, is it load related?
Right. Or sometimes the answers can contradict themselves. They say one thing and then they say no, it's another thing.
Yeah, I have a bad vibration and does it shake the seat of your pants? No. Does it shake the steering wheel? No. Wow. We're nowhere. The vibration is not related to the speed of the car, which is the tires. And it's not related to steering slop. And it's not related to brakes. No, it doesn't happen when I brake. Those are tough.
Yeah.
Those are tough. Sometimes, and I don't mean to be derogatory, sometimes wife comes in and tells us that because that's what she's been told by her husband. She can't really answer the questions because she doesn't know. She's just been told to say this. And that puts wives and girlfriends in unfortunate positions.
Yeah, and even sometimes the other way around, where the husband brings in the car and we ask questions about what it's doing. And it says, I don't know, my wife drives it, I don't drive. We had that Friday.
Yeah, we have that very often. It goes both ways.
It's not my car, I don't drive it, I don't know what it's doing.
Yeah, she told me that there's something wrong with the AC, and then say, well, is it blowing warmer? Is there no volume of air? I don't know. My wife drives it. So it's
okay.
It's just the more information. Yeah, I mean, it's not productive for the customer or for the shop because we're trying to kind of decipher what's truly going on, and we waste a lot of time trying to figure it out. So the more information, the more specific, when, you know, how does it happen, what is the noise, what is it doing, when does it do it, all that stuff is helpful.
Just like you always say, Mark, if you can tell me that, you just saved yourself $50 in diagnostic fees.
Yeah. And so the answer to that is it would be really nice if the husband comes in and says, here's my wife's name and her phone number. Don't call her in the morning. She's busy at work, but you can call her anytime after 10. Wow. How would that be?
Yeah.
So that kind of guidance and stuff. So we got Larry Harker's Auto. He can diagnose anything, but I'm scared to tell you that right now because we've had some car problems today that have just, they just baffled us. Larry Harker's been here since 1967. He's at 38th Avenue and Indian School, and I can tell you we've sent cars to him before, and he has pulled a rabbit out of his hat just every time. Sometimes it's not cheap, and the diagnostic sometimes is huge, and the repair is a dollar. So I take the dashboard apart, then it takes a dollar to fix it. That happens sometimes. It's the other way around as well. It's a lot of money on the front side and a lot of money on the back side. So if you have a problem, Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue, Indian School. But if you're in that general area, they do auto emissions, vehicle maintenance, oil changes, electrical work, all that other kind of stuff. We did talk about Action Repair. Action Auto Repair is a great shop. Tom owns it, and I've known Tom since 1983. He's in the other side of the world from Larry Harker's Auto. He's up at Deer Valley and I-17 in the northwest corner. He's been in that area since 1983. That's when I first met him. So he's a good guy. He knows right from wrong. He does some imports, and he really excels at the imports. And I think one of the ones he really works hard on is the BMWs. And I think he has a tech there that's really, really good on BMWs. So it makes a difference if you have the Fiat is a good example.
Fix it again, Tony.
Yeah. So you'd want to go to a transmission shop where the guy had gray hair and not a young man that was, 25 because he's probably never had a Fiat part. And wouldn't know even where to start. The old gray-haired guys probably had a transmission or two or done a clutch on a Fiat, and they could open up the inspection plate and probably look to see how much metal is inside there. So that's kind of what Action Auto Repair has a lot to offer, a lot of experience. So you got any other words of advice for
consumers? But you were talking about Larry Harker's doing emissions, and there's something that's just been very strange the past 2 weeks. We will fix a vehicle and take it to emissions for the customer. The wait time the last 2 weeks has been astronomical. I mean, typically there are maybe 4 or 5 cars at the emission station. I'm seeing 12 to 20. I can't send or I can't go to the emission station and wait for an hour and a half to get the vehicle tested.
Right.
I don't know. And it's typically the middle of the month is the slowest part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been crazy.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of people with COVID that want to spread it around. and there's also a lot of people at home. And we're seeing it in a business where we're getting in the husband's and the wife's car both. And so we're getting them right on top of one another so that they're both home working off of homework. I don't know the answer, but you can get on the internet and you can find out the wait time.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they don't give you the wait times anymore. They're all say, wait time is not, they're not responding or it's not accurate or something. But you just look at the pictures and it's just like
cars.
Wow. This looks like a drive-in theater.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good tip for customers, though, if they have to take it to emissions because most of the emission stations have cameras.
Okay.
So you can see how many cars are in line, and if you're close, then you can run down there when it's not as busy.
Yeah, you go to ADEQ View Emission Station.
Okay. And that's something we haven't always had, but you and I were around in 76 when they started the vehicle emissions program. I think it was 76, and it was a big deal. And we had COHC, and then they went to NOx, and then they went to CO. It was just an evolve. Today, it's all computerized. We don't even, on the newer model cars, stick anything in the tailpipe.
No.
All we do is look at the computer and say, are you okay?
Right. No codes. Are the monitors completed? That's it. You're done.
Yeah. So, and the car is capable of monitoring the exhaust stream on the newer model cars. And so if it's running too rich, too much fuel, not fair, whatever, it'll pop up on the dashboard with data that allows us to go in and look at it and talk to it. There is one other good shop. That's Auto Dynamics in Sun City. He's up on North Side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. The Nide family owns and operates and opened it in 1982. Dick, the son, is now running it. Chuck is his dad. He's kind of halfway retired. But Derek knows cars because he's like Andy and Alan. They've been in the business for a long time. So if you're in Sun City, there's only one shop that I can recommend. just one, and that's Auto Dynamics, and that's north of Grand Avenue, just west of 99th Avenue. My email is mark@marksalem.com. If you have a question, then you can send me the email, and here's what we need. Your make and model and mileage of the car and what the symptoms are. So it's a vibration. It doesn't start hot. It doesn't start cold. It pulls hard to the right. The mirror wobbles around and falls down. Of course, the cardboard repair was just the last thing you could talk about.
Right.
It was just a matter of let's just fix the mirror in one place and just leave the automatic mirror alone. Because like you said, it's pretty doggone expensive to deal with something like that. So Andy and Alan, thanks very much. And Eddie, thanks very much for spending your Saturday with me. For the rest of you, happy Father's Day to all of you out there. Hopefully you'll have the kids around and the grandkids will be behaving themselves. Somebody said that the other day to me. Anyway, God bless you, Mark@marksalem.com, Mark@marksalem.com.